am I going first?
You're starting.
Okay. Hello. No. Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of Echoes and Influence. I'm Jo.
And I'm Frankie.
And today we're talking about the importance of a strong media network. In our last episode, where we introduced Echoes and Influence to everyone, we spoke about why we're doing this podcast. We want to share stories. We want to shine a light. There are some incredible people doing some incredible things in this industry, and we really want to highlight that. As we know, the working world has changed. People are a little bit disconnected, and we see this as a way to reconnect with everybody.
Yeah, and one of the things that we spoke about in last week's episode was the incredible people that we worked with and we had the chance to interact with during our careers. And that's really where we're going to today. We're going to be talking about, again, about incredible people that we get to interact with. And this time we're talking about journalists. And we're going to talk about the importance of your media relationships and building that strong media network.
One of the things we always ask, I think, when we start working with clients is, why are media so important? And I think there's always a case for, you know, if we look at all the buckets of things you need to do for clients, there's a definitely element of people to people. So connecting directly to your stakeholders, your customers, your clients. But then there's media, and media have the ability to reach so many more people than you can directly. Being featured in media and having a great article is also a really good third-party endorsement. So we look at things like that. The media, if you get it right, can carry your message to so many more people at once than you can. And so media play a really important role in what we're doing every day. It doesn't matter what facet of PR you're working in, good times and bad, the media are really, really important to what we do.
Yeah, and I think out of today's episode, there are three things that people are going to get. I think the three things we want to touch on. We're going to highlight why those relationships matter. You've spoken about that already a little bit. We're going to talk about how you build strong media relationships and connections, which I think is very, very important. It's an art form, right? We talk about networking, but I think this is a little bit more than networking. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about, through those relationships, then using them to all leveraging them to get good positive media coverage for your client, which at the end of the day is what we need to do, right?
Right.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I just want to touch a little bit on why these relationships matter, why they're so important. You spoke about this thing of them reaching other stakeholders and speaking to a core audience. That's a very important part of our relationship. There is this. Well, it's easy for us to go to stakeholders directly, and I think social media platforms allow us to do that, to talk to audiences directly. There's still a very important audience and stakeholders that we reach through media, through these media platforms, and having a relationship with the journalists allows you to reach that audience, right? Those audiences are very valuable. I think there's also this thing about credibility. People are more likely to believe your story if it's seen as coming through the lens of a journalist. So credibility is a very, very important part of this relationship. And that credibility then allows us to lean into the good times. And when we have a good story to tell, being able to tell it through a credible source like a journalist or through their media platform is very, very important. And then on the flip side of that, when we're in crisis, those relationships are important because it allows us to have honest conversations with the journalist about our side of the story, our client's side of the story, and helps us to manage those crises. And being able to pick up the phone and phone a journalist and have a conversation with them in a crisis is very, very important from a PR and comms point of view. So I think that's why relationships matter. I think it's that access, the credibility, but then being able to tell good stories in the good times and being able to manage difficult stories in the hard times.
That's always been my thing. So like we always say to clients, in the times of good, you want the media to share your story. But in times of bad, what you would like is the right of reply or the right for them to correct it. And sometimes the best you can hope for is a balanced response or a balanced article. And there are journalists out there where you're never going to get it right and you're never going to get a glowing report. But if you have a relationship with them and you manage it, what you can hope for is a balanced article at the end of the day. And I think that is a lot of our job, is having relationships so that we can share the positive stories, but mitigate and manage in the bad, as you point out.
So you're a lot better at this than I am in terms of relationships from a media point of view. Can you give us sort of like an example of how you've built relationships? I mean, for you, the big shift was, and we spoke about this in the first episode, was going from corporate to moving into the food industry and having to build relationships in the food industry must have been a big part of how you started your business. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it was interesting because, as you say, like, I mean, for 15 years, I worked in a very, very corporate environment. So I had really good relationships with business journos, trade journos, and that sort of thing. And then what happened was I met a chef and he asked me if I could launch a supper club for him. And I was like, oh, of course I can, absolutely. But then I said to him, you know, if we're going to do this, there's got to be a point to it. And that's kind of where it hinges on the work I do and why media is so important. So I'd said yes, all like gung-ho. But then the problem was I actually didn't know a single food journalist. I just started on my own. I didn't have all those fancy media monitoring packages where you can go online and find a list. I had none of that. So I went, sat in an Exclusive Books. I pulled every food magazine off the shelf and I wrote down every editor's name, phone number, and email address. And then what I did is the next day I sat and I phoned every single one of them. And I said, hi, my name is Joe. I'm calling on behalf of this particular chef. This is what we're going to be doing. I'd love to chat to you a bit more about it. And that's how we started. And I followed up with an email. Then they were invited to an event. They came and that's how we started. I have built that network based on an initial phone call, mm-hmm. by looking up their details, making contact with them, letting them know who I am and what I was available to talk about or who I had access to. But then I followed it up and I stuck to it. And so now we have this incredible network of media that we see all the time. But it's an everyday job. Every single day we talk to those journalists. Every single day we help them meet their deadlines. We provide valuable content. So now the relationship has grown to that. But yeah, sitting in that Exclusive Books, I mean, they didn't know who I was and I didn't know who any of them were. So yeah, amazing.
So one of the things you spoke about was maintenance, right? So it's one thing to introduce yourself to a journalist and when you have a good story, you go, I've got an amazing story, or my client's got an amazing story. But what do you do when you don't necessarily have a story, but you still have to maintain this relationship? Do you go out on coffee dates, inverted commas? What are you doing to keep the conversation or the relationship going?
I think there's two sides to it. The one, and I always say to clients, like, we are only as good as the information we get. So we always say to clients, tell me everything. So like in times of bad, tell me everything so I can figure out what we tell. In times of good, same thing. Tell me everything so we can tell people all about it. So the one half of it is being, we're only as good as the information we get. The other side of it is making, I think, our clients aware of the importance of media, but what the media need from them. So, Frankie, you'll know, like media training, we talk about, guys, understand what this publication looks for. What is the type of content they look for? This journalist's a little quirky. Be careful when you're answering these questions. What is their deadline? What do they need? So there's a portion of mm-hmm. it that looks at, so making sure your client understands, when I ask you for this comment by Tuesday, 5 o'clock, I'm not doing it for my health. I'm doing it because this is a really good place for you to be featured in. And we don't want to mess these people around. And that's why we do it. Mm-hmm. So there's the making sure you have the information, but then also making sure your client is aware of how we have to manage it. Because that, I think, becomes the biggest element of maintenance. It's that whole thing about the proof is in the pudding. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as much as you don't like doing media relations, you prefer to be on the content side. There is something to be said for having your ducks in a row. So being prepped. So we have banks of information ready to go. We have always got beautiful images ready to go. The journalists know who our clients are. They know what they can come to me for. They know what we can talk on. When a deadline is quick, I have the ability to go into a pool of content and quickly pull something out.
Yeah, 100%.
Pull an image and you send it to them. And I think that's been the biggest thing, certainly for me, and the feedback that I get from the journalists I work with a lot is like, we know we can rely on you, Joe. Yeah. I'm reliable. I get them stuff on time. I don't mess them around. Everything is organized. Everything is labeled. You know, the pictures are labeled. They're credited. We are organized.
Right.
It's quick for us to turn it around.
Right.
And I meet their deadlines. And they know, like, I often fill in gaps because people have let them down.
But the other thing is you understand their needs, right? So the other thing about a relationship with a journalist is it can't be superficial. There has to be some sort of understanding. And you spoke about reading and going and picking up a magazine and reading not just to find out their name, but you're also reading to find out what they actually write about and what they cover. Because the other thing about media relations is in terms of providing value is that filling the gap is difficult if you don't understand what somebody writes about.
Mm.
And we used to call it spray and pray, right? I don't know if they still use that term. But it used to be a case of we used to send out press releases to a database of journalists and hope somebody would pick it up. And what I think part of the art of media relations is understanding, when I'm emailing a particular journalist, is this story going to work for them, yes or no? How do you get to that point as a media relations person?
Like, you don't want to waste people's time.
Journalists are so busy, and I know because I used to be one. So when you say I don't like doing media relations, it's partly because I used to be on the other end of that. So I know what it's like to be pitched stories, and I understand that it's got to be valuable. So for me, it's very difficult to pitch a story to a journalist if I don't think there's value in it for that journalist.
But that's because a valid point, Franks, because then, you know, you said as a journalist, we know how many press releases or pitches journalist gets today. So when you were sitting there and you were the one getting it, I mean, what made things stand out? What made you pick up on certain angles? What made you more inclined to go to use certain people, or to you like got an email from an agency? What made you pick that agency's email and not that one's email?
So the mechanics to it, right? So if you're talking about from a written pitch point of view, it was that, or even on the phone, it was the fact that the journalist got to the point and wasn't wasting my time. So in the subject line of the email, I knew what the story was already. I didn't have to click through to find out what the news is. And then even in the writing of the pitch, hi Frankie, here's why this is important to you. And then tell me why it's important. And then I knew I didn't have to read through reams of copy. Because like you say, I mean, when I was a news editor at a newspaper, I used to have my personal email address and the news at the newspaper's email address.
Gosh.
So I was reading two. So I was getting press releases from, it would be sent to me, and then it would be sent to that news address.
It's like spam on a whole level.
It's at a level that you're getting 300 emails a day on two email addresses. So I think the first thing was get to the point. Tell me why this is valuable for me.
Yeah.
And then also the other thing was, there was this thing around, oh, I saw you wrote about this last week. Here's a follow-up opportunity for you. So as a journalist getting that kind of information, I go, oh, this person understands what it is that I do and is not here to waste my time.
Mm.
And so if you're a food journalist and you get a music release or you get a business release, that turns you off immediately. So it's that knowledge, that understanding of, okay, this person writes a certain beat or covers a certain beat. I send information to them that they're interested in. I demonstrate the news very quickly, and then I tell them that, and then I demonstrate the fact that I understand their industry or their beat, and I've read about it, and I follow you, and I know what you're doing. It demonstrates to me that I'm not just a number when somebody you've just sent a blanket email to. Mm. You've actually thought about this before you've reached out to
me. Yeah. I always think about like the scariest part of media relations is like at some point, and I think, well, I'll speak for myself. It'd be a shock to everybody that I'm a little bit of a control freak.
Just a little.
I know, little bit. Minor type A personality level control. And I question my career choices regularly because there is that thing about at some point you lose control.
Mm-hmm.
You can only do as much as you can. So you can media train your clients. You can have clear messaging. You can sit in the interview. But when it's done, you have to step away. And then you have no idea what's going to happen.
Come in the other end.
So then you're at the mercy of an editing system.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do? Because now you put all the best feet forward, and then it's at the mercy of the editor. And that, yeah, and I think that's maybe the other side, the craftier side of media relations that you don't have as much control over. Because we know that you cannot always get articles for factual verification.
Yeah.
You can ask. You can ask.
Sometimes they'll say yes. Sometimes they'll say no.
Likely won't get it. Yeah. So then when you don't get it, it's that fingers crossed to some degree that the article that comes mm-hmm. out is going to be what all the intentions intended it to be. And that's the tricky side of it.
But I think that's also a relationship thing, right? So if you've built up a good enough rapport, strong enough relationship with the journalist and you guys trust each other, I think in that case, if you ask for something, the journalist is probably more likely to go, oh, I trust Jo. I've worked with her forever. I'm going to give it to her. She's not going to edit it or change anything. She's just looking at it to fact check it, to make sure that it's correct. And I think that is that's also a mutual respect thing. Right? Mm-hmm. We've covered the thing I was going to talk about in terms of positive coverage, right? So that's understanding what the journalist wants, consuming their news, understanding what's value to them, and then tailoring the content to their needs, right?
Yeah.
It's also tailoring content is also something that's quite interesting because there is tailoring content, writing the pitch and tailoring the content to their needs. So you can tailor the same story to two different journalists. So you can tailor a story about a restaurant to a business journalist or to a food journalist. And that's about understanding. Mm. This is a business story, so I'm going to write it a business, the pitch in a business way here, or the pitch in a food way to them. The other aspect or layer of tailoring content is then platform, understanding platform, right? Mm. So this thing of sending written content to radio journalists where you could just record a clip and send a clip.
Yeah.
And that debate. It's a touchy space because sometimes it feels like the content's a bit managed. So you also want to be careful not overly managing content. I've gotten into trouble for that before. I don't know if I've told my Bruce Whitfield story before, but I went into trouble for over managing content. But
I sent
a clip and the response was don't manage the content. And that's again a lesson. Because now I understand how that journalist works and he works in a different way. And also trial and error is a big thing. Maybe we should chat a bit about trial and error. Because I think that is also a big part of the relationship. You do something, it doesn't work. You make a note of it and go, okay, with this journalist, that doesn't work. So next time approach it like this.
Yeah. I actually, you have a Bruce Whitfield. I once got an onion from Brendan Seery. And
that's tough.
And he ran that wonderful column called Orchids and Onions, and he had it in, I think it was the Sunday Times, for years. And like everyone would read Orchids and Onions, like in our industry, on a Sunday, and then everyone would come to work on a Monday and talk about Orchids and Onions. And it was just amazing that particular Monday that it was me. And we had sent, and in hindsight, it was poor on our side because we hadn't done enough research. Mm-hmm. And we were launching a vodka brand, and we sent him like a media drop, and we sent him a bottle of vodka with a note on it that could be used as a press release. I mean, it was, I don't know what we thought we were doing. We were never going to get coverage. Anyway, the coverage we got was him like slamming my press release, and he called it, I can't remember exactly, but something like a breathy something or other, like the
written
account
by a PR intern.
Written like by some breathy PR intern. And I was like absolutely mortified because obviously I think he named the agency and everyone in the company knew it was me. And of course I'm like, obviously again, shocked to everyone. I don't like getting things wrong.
Yeah.
We are shooketh. And anyway, that was my little content thing. And then we were like, okay, so now what we'd learn, we don't send people who like write opinion columns, bottles of vodka.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. And that's a big lesson. Right?
It was a big lesson. And I didn't like it.
So your orchids and what's it? Orchids and
orchids and onions.
Onions. Orchids and onions. That's a
I was an onion. My
that's
Franks.
A great name.
I was an onion.
Onions are complicated and layered. It's fine. But what it does do is it talks to you about building that trust, right? So
yeah.
And when you have built up a rapport with a journalist, it takes forever to get that right.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it was Warren Buffett who said, building trust takes forever, but breaking trust happens in an instant. It might have been reputation. But I think that's the thing, is it takes forever to build this trust, and you've got to get it right. And making one mistake or two mistakes can break that trust very quickly.
Yeah.
So I think that's the other thing to remember. That's maintenance. Maintaining that relationship, understanding, and to keep going on that.
Yeah. My last point I want to make here, how I always think about coverage, is that I like to think about things in layers. So you have to have the relationships with the journals. Like we've said, understand what they're going to be writing about. Understand their content so that you can pitch and you can secure coverage properly.
Mm-hmm.
Think about things in layers. Where are the places that you're only going to get big, chunky, strategic coverage once a year? What sits in the middle? Where can you get stuff every couple of months, like a decent page or a beautiful article or a quick interview or something like that? And then what sits at the bottom? What's your bread and butter? What's your daily? And what do those people need? Mm-hmm. And it's generally online sources that need lots of stuff. The difference between your big, chunky, strategic and your bread and butter is very different. And so understanding the journalists and who they are and being able to send information to feed into those three buckets, that certainly has helped me a lot over the years to get really good coverage and build relationships, because I don't pitch the same stuff to everybody.
So before we go, I think the three things that we've highlighted today is the importance of those relationships, media relationships, and how that allows you to do a better job on behalf of your client. We've spoken about that today. We've spoken about how you build that relationships, and you've given us incredible insight into knowing who journalists are. And then the last thing we spoke about is how important that is then to get positive coverage. So I think that's a great way to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you've got something else to add, and then we can chat about next week.
I just think, I would love to hear, we're obviously going to be including people on this podcast, yeah. people we want to interview. And I think
that's
at some point it would be cool, other than yourself as a respected former journalist, I think it would be cool to like get people in, the journos who are currently working. And I think that it would be cool, you know, if any of the listeners are listening, if they'd like us to interview a journalist. I mean, within reason, like Piers Morgan might be a little bit of a stress. But I'm ambitious and you never know.
You never know.
And I think that, yeah, I think if people want us to interview someone, or if there's a case study or a person in the industry you feel is relevant,
yes.
then email us at echoesandinfluence@gmail.com and we will drop that address in the show notes.
Yes, exactly. We want to interview people. And next week we get to do that.
Yay.
And we talk about how we are constantly talking about people who are respected in the industry. And next week we get to speak to somebody who's very, very respected. Alan Argyle, who we've both worked with. I don't think it's strong to say probably the leading crisis communications expert in the country.
I will agree with
you. So if you want to learn more about how to manage a crisis and how to manage media in difficult times, Alan will be with us in our next episode. And I personally can't wait to have that conversation with Alan, because, I mean, he's a sage.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thanks, everybody. So subscribe, share, like, click.
Do all the things.
We'll see everyone next week.
We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, guys.
Bye.